everyone. This is the White Witch and Magic Apothecary, also known as Mary Elizabeth Macari in my normal vanilla life. Welcome to you. Welcome to January 2020. What a year it's already becoming. All kinds of things going on in our world that I'm not going to talk about, but I am going to talk about the full moon coming up and what that means to us and how to celebrate that. Talk is about the wolf moon or the snow moon or the moon of many other names, which I'll get into in a moment, in January of 2020, which falls on January 10th. And it is a full moon in Cancer. The sun is in Capricorn. So we are in Capricorn at this time of the year until the mid part of January when it switches over to Aquarius, the last week, the third week of January. But the moon is always in the opposite sign of the sun sign when it is full. And that is why it's full, by the way, because the sun is fully shining upon the moon. And the moon is reflecting the sun's energy back to the sun and to us. And that is why people who are magicians and witches and all sorts of occultists like to work with the full moon energy. Also, people have known for centuries that the full moon causes not lunacy, although some people are affected by the moon. Some animals are affected by the moon, specifically nocturnal ones who are not as nocturnal when the moon is full because it's too much light for them to be out in. But also, the tides themselves are higher when the moon is full. So since we are made up of a very large percentage of water, the moon does affect our bodies. A lot of women menstruate by the moon. Sometimes they ovulate during the full moon. Sometimes they have their menses during the full moon. Sometimes babies are born or labor contractions begin during the full moon. So there is something to the idea of the energy being high, even though perhaps science can't actually pinpoint it yet, but they might soon one day wake up and say, hey, you know what, that was we were wrong. So because I keep hearing that, oh, it's not true, it's not possible, but of course it is possible, and it's been used as an energy source for centuries. So this is the Magical Apothecary / White Witch podcast. I do as many podcasts as I can get done. One of my New Year's resolutions was to do as many podcasts as possible this year to get all this information out to people who are really hungry for it and wanting to learn more about witchcraft, working with the tides of nature, working with the elements themselves, working with animals, working with all of the nature around us. And we know at this moment in time, Australian fires, I think, have just sort of died down. There was a massive extinction of animals there, murder, in my opinion, of animals. They say about 500 million animals, and many people were died in those fires, most likely brought about by climate change. I've heard a saying some years ago that one day Gaia herself, the earth herself, will shake us off her back and just go on as she is, and all the animals and all the beings on this planet will persist without us here, who are the problem. Okay, so there's that going on. But a lot of people are now very interested in things like natural magic, dealing with the forces of the nature herself, of the goddess Gaia, or the earth itself, herself, and the moon. And so we're talking about the moon today, which is a satellite of the earth and is a natural part of our ancestral understanding and heritage for ever. So this time of the year, it's the first full moon of the year is usually called, and it is almost, you know, it is always the same. It is always in January at some point or another. This one happens to fall earlier in January, and it's the first full moon after Yule, and it's always, almost always, called the wolf moon. That's in North America. A common name for it is the wolf moon. In different places of the world, it's called different things. I have this great list here. It's called the cold moon or the chaste moon, sometimes called the disting moon, the birch moon of the Druids. They called it the birch moon, and the moon of little winter, the quiet moon, and the snow moon. All of those are very poetic and make total sense, you know, considering how it is in the Northern Hemisphere at this time. It is very quiet at night. It is very cold. It is very dark. The days are actually getting longer, but it's very incremental until after Imbolc, which is January 31st to February 1. And I'll talk more about that on my Imolk podcast coming up. So at this point, it's still kind of a short day, you know, and it's still pretty dark in the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's a whole different situation. They're heading towards their, you know, their light is still very, very full, and it's still warm, and it's still crops are growing, and it's a whole nother season. It's the opposite season. It is summer in the Southern Hemisphere. So if you're down there, hi, I hope you are well, and thanks for listening in. One day I want to get down to the Southern Hemisphere and do ritual down there, because I really want to experience, first of all, the seasonal changes, which are entirely different, and up, in my mind, upside down, because down there, I'm sure you think we're upside down, which we are to you, but I would love to just see how you call quarters and how it looks different and how it feels different in the southern part of the earth. So one day I'll get down there, hopefully, and practice down there with my friends down in Australia, actually in New Zealand, and I have some people down, even in parts of lower parts of South America, listening to this podcast. So hello to you guys, as well as many of us up here in the Northern Hemisphere. So hello to you guys, and thank you all for your support and listening to this podcast. It's quite overwhelming, the amount of people that are downloading this podcast, but it's wonderful because I'm glad to get this out here. I really want to get this out here to as many people as need to hear it. And I feel like I'm doing my duty to the goddess who called me to do her work many, many years ago as a teacher and as a lecturer of sorts, and also as a person who teaches people how to make magic, how to make their own ingredients for magic, how to read cards, how to read aura, how to heal others. So I'm not an expert in every field, but I have studied very deeply these things, and I have been doing witchcraft since about 1995. So I'm what's considered an elder. I have the white hair to prove it now, too. So anyway, we go on. One of the reasons I'm talking about this myself at this point is because this was a big moon for me. Way back, I think it was somewhere in the 90s, I had studied with a group. I had been studying for a while. I had self-initiated way back in 95, I think, or 6. And I initiated into another group, which was in Manhattan. This was cool. I mean, this was cool. It was a place called the Zodiac Lounge. And the owner, Anthony, his name was, I won't tell you his last name because he hasn't allowed me to do such, but he used his first name a lot. His name was Anthony. And he had this lovely store in a basement, first floor level of a nice, like, I think it's a dry cleaner or something next door above it. Anyway, this is a time in New York City where it wasn't all corporate and things weren't being knocked down for condos constantly. So there were little pockets of magical people around. A lot of them were in the Lower East Side, but at this time, Anthony happened to be on the Upper West Side, all the way up in the upper 90s, right off near Central Park West. So it was a wonderful place to be. It's a great neighborhood. It was, still is, a wonderful neighborhood. And the park itself lent us a lot of opportunities to be outside and do magic under the moon. And we worked a lot on ancient Greek and Roman magic, which is a scad jump away from Egyptian magic. And I initiated into this coven of group. And the day I did that was Imolk, and it was also full moon. So that's a rare thing, because Imolk, and then it was the day of Imolk Eve, was January 31st, and it was a full moon. So this moon, this time of the year, for me, always reminds me of that. I was, it was a wonderful initiation. Of course, the group didn't continue, and so kind of dissipated. That sometimes happens with groups, but while we were together, it was wonderful fun and really intense magic. I learned many things. So I was asked to fast for, I think, 48 hours beforehand, and then I was taken in the light of the moon around the back and tossed into a very cold, very wet bathroom, left blindfolded for like what felt years, then brought up to a warm space and welcomed and initiated and was introduced to one of the most powerful goddesses that has ever been known to man. And I still revere her and work with her on a regular basis. Her name is Hecate. And many, many people work with Hecate now throughout the world. She is the goddess many feel of witchcraft and the dark goddess of the underworld. So it was very appropriate learning that kind of magic that I was initiated to her. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I'm very grateful for that. And I'm remembering my time doing that. So Imolc is coming, as I said, at the end of the month, and I will do another podcast about Imolc. It's one of my favorite holidays because it's a very hopeful holiday where things are growing again. So get on and listen to that if I can get that done in time for you all. I'm also writing articles on Medium, so you can look for me on Medium as The White Witch and Magic Apothecary, or just The Magic Apothecary, APOTHECARY. And you can look at those the same article, the same thing I'm talking about here, I just wrote, so you can have it to read off and work with. And if you want, print it out and keep it or share it or whatever you like. So here's a good idea. I'm going to talk about a ritual for the wolf moon or the snow moon. So it comes at the darkest and the coldest time of the year up here, as I said before, in the Northern Hemisphere. So it's kind of associated with hibernation still. Of course, animals are not out yet. Bear and squirrels and whatever, you know, other animals that are hibernating type animals, including actually humans, we're supposed to be inside in a way too, are not really ready to come out of hibernation. So it's about fire. It's about ancestors, calling up the ancestors, working with family, being with family, because this is a time you were with your family. You were inside. In the ancient times, you know, if there was fire, you were lucky to have fire. Fire was the most sacred thing there was, especially at this time of the year. Always, yes. But at this time of the year, you can imagine how important fire was for survival, not just for cooking, of course, but for survival, for heat. So, and also family, if you notice people huddle together when it's cold and wear fur and furs, they used to anyway, and drink warm things and eat heavy foods and try to hunker down and wait for it to all end, which it kind of is. If you notice, the light in the sky is changing color. That's something I love to look for. It's a little, I've been looking out the window here in Brooklyn, New York, and it's a different color. It's not as grayish blue, but it's getting a little deeper, which means we're heading much closer to the sun than we were just a month ago. That's something to look for. Also, during this time of the year, look up at trees and look and see if they're swollen. They're not really yet. I saw them yesterday. I was looking, but it's about 2 weeks. You'll start to see the buds of the trees getting a little fatter. And then you'll get to start to thinking about what's happening underneath in the roots and what it is the tree is doing, and it's feeding itself to start producing leaves. So anyway, that's where that is. So I'd love to go outside for ritual if I can, but at this time of the year, it's very hard. So if you can and you want to, just make sure you're comfortable. You're going to be outside for a while. You can't really raise energy or do magic if you're in really in pain or feeling frostbitten. So if you have if it's a nice night and it's not snowing or raining and it's warm enough to be out for a long period of time, then go ahead and do it and be under the moon, even if it's just for a few moments. It's a good time of the year to empower things and cleanse things. So if you want to bring out stuff that you use for ritual, like your athame, or people say athame or athame, the ritual knife we use in circle, or you want to collect snow, or you know, have blessed water blessed by the moon, or you want to cleanse crystals or any other working materials you have that have been in the house through the season of darkness, from all the way from midsummer till now, is a good time to get them out and have them cleansed under the light of the moon. It's a good time anytime to collect moon water if you want to. You just put a crystal bowl outside, or you put any kind of water in a clear container and leave it out under the moon overnight, and in the morning you have blessed moon water, and in this case would be full of the energy of the sign Cancer. So that's that. So if you can get out, like I say, do so. And if you want to think about the silver light of the moon cleansing you, that would be a wonderful thing. Because, you know, this is a lot about the sign Cancer. The sign Cancer represents the mother, and the moon itself is exalted in the sign of Cancer. So it's a very, very powerful moon for this kind of work, which is cleansing and getting things in order and getting things organized. And also, don't forget, the sun is in Capricorn, which loves organization and purging and cleansing and making sure that things are worth something. It's a great time to be starting to go through your home and also through your mind and your spirit and releasing things that no longer serve you and bringing in good things or new things, new ideas, new things. So using the light of the moon, I just mentioned with the water, you can do that with your own self, not overnight, but for a little while, let that light cleanse you and purify you. So usually many people say, before you start a ritual, you should cleanse. That's one way to do it. Another way is to do it in the shower or in a bath. If you're going to soak, you can use salts, or you can use herbs that are cleansing. You can use all sorts of different herbs. Be careful. Don't use something that burns the skin or the mucous membranes of the body. Just use something very peaceful, like lavender, perhaps, or something, like I say, Epsom salt. It works really well. Or even something like rosemary crushed up might be great in the bath. You can put that in a little cheesecloth or in a little muslin bag and just hang that into your bath like a tea, or even a tea bag. You can, if you have an empty tea bag, you can use that. Mix it with some Epsom salt, some baking soda, and some regular table salt, 1-to-1 ratio, and just soak. That's a great way to do that. Or you can just empower a bar of soap, or you can buy a bar of soap that's made specifically for magical purposes. I make those in my store. I make those to order, and I have them all the time. I have uncrossing, and I have cleansing and full moon ritual soaps that are made specifically for showers, for baths that are faster, not soaks. So if you're interested in that, get in touch with me at The Magical Apothecary, MagicalApothecary. @gmail.com. So anytime you need to speak to me or want to get in touch with me about any questions or any products I do make, or spells you might want to create with me or me for you, please do get in touch. I love working with people and teaching people how to empower themselves with the ingredients that are available on this earth. So it's also a good time to work on magic for protection, physical and spiritual protection. It's a very dark time, so people used to and still do believe that there's a lot of negative energy around. And if we look at the world situation that we're in right now, there's a lot of negative energy, and it does affect us. And we want to try to put up protective energy for ourselves and our families and friends. You know, it's also a good time to really be careful with yourself spiritually, that you are not so vulnerable to any kind of energy coming into your spirit through your mind and body. It's also a great time to work on any full moon magic at this time, because the nights are so long. So it's a great time to say, okay, the sun's going to go down around 6. It's going to be dark for many hours. So a long ritual, including a very long, you know, a long cleansing, some chanting, some food, then the process of the circle and the ritual, which can go on all night long until dawn, because, you know, why not? Okay. And January 10th is coming in on a Thursday this year, but full moon phase goes on for a couple of days before or after. There is no reason why you couldn't do it on the Friday coming on the 11th, or even if you want to push it on the 12th. And after that, I wouldn't consider it any more full moon phase, but it's still okay to do all kinds of full moon magic as long as the moon is 99% full or so. You can check that online, see exactly how full the moon is. And many people who are sticklers about this will say, no, as soon as the moon is full, it is becoming dark again, it is waning. Yes, it's true. The pendulum is swinging, but you have a moment or two while the pendulum is still in the space of full. So take advantage of that. And if you can, you know, if you're able to spend a Friday night or Saturday day in deep meditation around this time of the year, it is really a perfect time to do that. So how do we do a full moon ritual? There are many of you that know how to do that. I'm just going to go through this in a simple way for people who haven't done one yet. I remember when I started, I had no idea what I was doing, and I hoped to find my answers in a bunch of dusty books that were kept secrets in like sort of esoteric occult shops around New York City. So here and now in 2020, you guys have so much information, and you can look up a million different ways to do it. So I'm going to go through it for those of you who are interested in new ideas, perhaps, that I might have, or for those of you who are new at this and want to practice. If you are want to skip ahead, go ahead. We'll talk more about different things at the end of the podcast. But this is how we do it. So, of course, people around the globe and through history have done things differently. Wicca itself, which is traditional British witchcraft, is not the only sort of pagan path out there at all anymore. It's so diverse now. So this is a general outline of sort of an eclectic light. I like to call it eclectic American witchcraft, which is sort of a melting pot kind of thing. It's, in my opinion, most of what was done in Europe, but not all over the world, and certainly not in Native American culture or in other cultures like African cultures, or even in some South American cultures or very far north cultures. So this is like sort of, it's mostly European idea. It comes through Egypt, Greece also, Italy, all the way up through Ireland and to Scotland and into Scandinavia. This is basically Celtic idea. I am, if anything, a Celtic Norse pagan. That's what I think I am. I've been looking this up. People do talk about this a lot. Well, what kind of a pagan are you? Well, I think that's what I, if I had to pigeonhole myself, I would definitely say I am Celtic. So anyway, this is Celtic idea. And most of the, by the way, Sabbats we celebrate, even if we are not Celtic based, are Celtic Sabbats. Just because that group of people went through the entire, pretty much all the way from the Middle East, all the way up to, as I said, Scandinavia in a large sickle. And spread their culture throughout that area, and a lot of their things still exist in this kind of work. Anyway, that's history, and if you're interested in that, look up the Celts. There's actually a couple of really great series on Amazon you can watch about them. They're not the best acted. It's sort of like Vikings was, you know, well done, kind of historical, and there's great information in there. Anyway, so this is a lot of idea of the Celtic stuff, and that Celtic stuff was picked up by the creator of Wicca, whose name was Gerald Gardner. And some of this is also Masonic ideas of circles and sacred space, which come from sometimes Egyptian and or ancient Greek ideas. And there's other types of different groups that use these symbologies. The Golden Dawn was one of them as well. And it's come to us through the filter of all of these things. So we can reject them and we can say that we're not interested in them. But if you're following this path, you kind of are. So a lot of people like to be sky clad when they do this. This means naked. You're dressed by the sky. Very funny. It's a funny thing. And one of the reasons that came about was because Gerald Gardner was a nudist. Really. He really was. And so he liked to be sky clad. So, but then other people do ritual naked as well. And the idea is that you're naked under the light of the moon, like a baby, like she's your mother, and you're there presenting yourself in your nakedness. And some people believe that being naked stops the blockage with from your clothing, or you're cleaner when you don't have clothes on that may have energy debris on them. You don't have to do it. Some people like to get really dressed up for ritual and wear a lot of jewelry and cloaks and all that. And I have done that, and I like that also. I've done both. I have done sky clad. What I can say about it is it does feel a little more open. That's the word, because you are open. You know, you're vulnerable, and that's how you feel. And when you're in the circle, you feel dressed, or at least I have felt covered with the energy of the circle on my skin. But that was me, and everybody's different. You don't have to do anything I do. So yeah. You don't have to honor God. We have to talk about gods and goddesses coming into this circle. This is something that people argue about a lot. You don't have to bring a god or a goddess into your circle. You know, people, the word God is a kind of triggering for some people. They are raised in religions that use that word against people or to force people or to harm people. So they don't like the word. So it's energy. We're talking about an energy form, and you can research those. When you're doing full moons, you want to think about what energy form or god or deity you want to work with and why. If it's a full moon, you might want to work with moon gods or goddesses, which are abundant in every pantheon. For example, one of the most common pantheons is the Greek pantheon, which a lot of us taught in school. So Artemis is the goddess of the moon in the Greek pantheon. And if you want to pair a goddess with a god, you should look and see which ones go together. Like the goddess Artemis, her brother is Apollo, the sun god. So that might be a great pair for a full moon ritual. You don't have to do that because there's lots of other choices. You have the Egyptian pantheon where you can pull Isis and Osiris, or you can come up with Nut and Geb, Nut being the sky goddess, Geb is the earth god. You don't have to bring in a god if you don't want to at all, since the goddess is, you know, feminine. You can also just work with the goddess Diana. There's a form of Wicca called Dianic Wicca, which is all female and only goddess centered. So that works too, if that's what you want. You can call on Ceridwen of the Celtic pantheon, the Irish Celtic pantheon, or, you know, anyone else you want to. I mean, it really doesn't matter. I've been at rituals where people were working with just symbols, just like the moon itself and just the sun itself and nothing else. No name associated with it and just the moon. But you'd have to, I think, in a full moon ritual, you have to bring in the moon, right? So if you just want a picture of the moon on your altar or something that represents the moon, when I first started, all I had were two pieces of soap I got for Christmas. I had a sun soap and a moon soap. And for many years, that stayed on my ritual until I used them. I think it must have been 3 years. Because they absorbed so much energy, you know, because they were on my first altar. But that's all I had, was a little, you know, a crescent moon soap and a sun soap. And that's what I used. Okay, so that is, I think, totally fine. And if you don't want that, of course, you may not have soap, but if you wanted to draw a picture or cut a picture out or print a picture or take a picture of the moon, that's fine. Use that too. You don't have to have a deity unless you really want one. So the first thing, that's one of the first things you decide, like, what am I doing here, right? What am I doing here? What do I want? When we're together at the full moon, we're there because we want something. We're asking the universe for things. You're asking the universe for not just stuff or you know, for material things, but maybe success or maybe self-esteem or maybe a lover or maybe a new job or a new home or health or zillions of other things. And they can be very specific. So the first thing you want to do, perhaps tonight or tomorrow during the day or before this moon phase passes, and you can do this at every moon if you like, every full moon, think about what are you asking for? What is it that you want? It's good to start thinking about and amassing things after the moon turns from dark to light. Once we have a new moon, it's time to set intention. So you have about 2 weeks to prepare for that. So at this point, you should have maybe prepared. If you didn't, you can sit quietly and just think, what do I really want? And write it out really thoroughly. You want to be sure when you ask for something from the universe or from the gods that it is very specific, because they will give you what you ask for. For example, if you say, I want a new apartment or a new house, they will give you a new apartment or a new house. It may be in a terrible neighborhood that you hate with no transportation, full of bugs. That is not what you want. So you want to be very specific about what it is you want. Say you want a lover. You want to be specific about the kind of a lover you want. You don't want to ever, ever, ever ask for a specific person to be your lover. Why? Because when you do that, you're doing black magic. You don't want to do black magic. If you do black magic, it will come back on you. If you ask for a specific person to be your lover, then they will, perhaps, most likely, if you work very diligently at your magic, become your lover. And then you are trapped with them. And then you are trapped with your obsession over them. And then you will get back everything you put back and out into the universe to get that person, and you will want them as much as you wanted them to want you. Believe me, a person who did this work, very sorry about it. Don't do that. So don't ask for a specific job. Don't ask for a specific apartment, because if you do that, you limit the universe's choices as to what to give you. So if you want an apartment or a house or a lover or a new dog or a job or anything, just be very open about where it could be or what it could be or who it could be, but just what the qualities are that you're looking for. So you think about that. And then you start to prepare your spells. You don't have to do spells during the full moon, but you can, and many do. So what you're doing then is saying, okay, if I want more passion or a lover, perhaps I want to work with the element of fire, which is a fiery, passionate element. If I want a new home, perhaps I want to work with the element of earth, which is what is in our bones and in rocks and in wood and in homes. Okay, earth. If I want more love in my life, I might say, let me work with the element of water. So I can, that rules the emotions, or I want control over my emotions, or I want a better expression of emotion with my family or my lover or my husband or wife, then you work with water. Also with earth, go back to earth. If you wanted a new job, you'd want to also work with earth for money and for employment and luck. That's earth. And fire and water and air is for a traveling, air, of course, and also for research, knowledge, school, schooling, writing, communication of any sort. So if you're working in any of those or for any of those things or anything that falls under that category, you want to work with that specific element. Or you can work with all four, which is fine because we're going to talk about that in a minute. All four can be involved in every spell. So you amassing what you need. I'm going to start doing podcasts about spellcraft if you want. I have a group on Facebook called Spellcraft, and you can find that with me through the Magic Apothecary White Witch group page. And you can find that group. And if you want to join that group, just go ahead and do so. I also have a Pagan Path group there, astrology group, tarot group, all on Facebook. You can meet others like yourself who are searching or learning, and it's a good place to ask questions. And if you want, there's tons of information on those pages. You just have to scroll back in time. And there's all sorts of things, especially on the Spellcraft group, which talks about how to put spells together. And I'm going to be talking about that and writing articles about that again to refresh that work soon. So that will actually play into this full moon kind of ideas. All right, so you're getting together all of your things, right? What do you want? And also write them out very thoroughly. And you want to also write out what you want to say in your ritual. In other words, what do you want to say when you ask the energies of the universe that represent the moon to, or the moon itself, that energy or the goddess that you're calling in who represents the moon? What do you want to say to her? What do you want to ask for her? Ask from her? How do you want to present yourself to her? And there's no harm in having something written out that you say, because you want to be sure that you say it specifically. Okay. And make sure that you're doing the same with your spells. Like I say, they're very specific. And also make sure that your room that you're going to be in is clean, decluttered, if you can, and as much, or outside if you're doing that, or wherever you're going to be, but as free of debris as possible, as free of karmic mess or energy as you can make happen. So that's important. And you should have a table and or a rock and or a box or whatever flat surface you happen to have. That should be clean and I'm ready to go. And so what do you want to set up your altar, right? So on your altar, you want to have, obviously, I just talked a lot about representations of the god and goddess or the moon and sun or just the moon herself. And then you want to have the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. So earth can be rocks or salt or you name it, that's earth, bone. Some people use bone. Air can be incense. You can use feathers or pictures of birds or birds, you know, bird statue maybe. Fire can be obviously candles. And if you can't burn candles, then you can use picture of fire, or I like to use electric candles because they're still fire, right? But they're just plugged in. Or you can use, if you have to use a battery candle, you can do that as well. And then water can just be a bowl of water. Or if you don't want to have water on your altar, you can just have a picture of water, or you can have a little picture of a fish, or you can have a seashell. Okay, so you use your imagination. So those four things are on your... Oh, my chair is so squeaky. I'm sorry. I left to oil it because it's really like... Sounds like I'm stuck in something. Sorry. Anyway, so those four things should be on your altar, plus your representation of your god and goddess. So that's all done. And that's in that, by the way, that's in that article. I'm talking about a medium. And if you, and it's also on my website. It's the-magic-apothecary.com. And you can, that's on my latest blog post there, and you can just pull it up there too. So in some traditions, people use very specific things to represent the elements. And if you want to look those up, you're more than welcome to just look it up, say, you know, on Google and say what, you know, what would be used in Wicca itself, or what might be used in, you know, Stregaria, or what might be used in, you know, on a Celtic or a Norse altar to represent these elements. If those are the things that you're interested in, just go and look them up. And there's tons of books out there to find things. And a Google search is never more than 5 seconds away. So Before you start, I always suggest that people ground themselves after we have cleansed ourselves, prepped the altar. I suggest people ground themselves. There's multiple ways to do this. One way is to just really feel your feet on the floor, growing sort of roots into the earth through the floor that you're standing on, deep into the earth and pulling up the energy of the earth. And another way to do it is sometimes people hum or chant, or some people use tuning forks or singing bowls and just sit with that sound and let that sound permeate them and make them still and quiet. Some people use anointing oils, which I do create for different. I love to create an anointing oil if I can for every ritual I do. If you're interested in learning how to do that or you want to talk to me about one, I will do it for you. Just get in touch. But I like to use those on my third eye. And sometimes on my hands. So I will have brought in herbs and essential oils into these oils that will open up these channels, but also at the same time, ground me in this herbal kind of place. So that's how I like to work things. And you don't have to, but that's how I like to do it. It smells good too. So then you're ready to go and you want to start, right? So you want to cast your circle. Oh, what's that mean, right? That's a big, scary thing for a lot of people. Well, what it just means is that you're just imagining and creating any way. There's millions of ways to do this, but any way you can, a big bubble of safety around yourself. You can stand still and expand that around yourself. You can feel the energy moving out around yourself. If you are a Reiki person, you can actually use Reiki to create a circle. Some people like to use a sword to slice a circle open. That's a very traditional magician's way to use a sword, a dull sword, by the way. Don't get a pointy, sharp sword. Or some people like to use an athame, which is usually a small dagger. Same thing, very dull, not sharpened. Don't want any sharp things in ritual, just representations of things. Using a knife or you're using a dagger to cut open the space so that you can put your energy into it, or making that circle with the energy coming down through the knife as an extension of your hand and arm. You can just use your hand and arm to make a circle around yourself. You can go around in a circle and slice it out of the air, or you can make a bubble. Globe really is more what the circle is. It's kind of a globe above and below and all around yourself. You can do it any way you like. I've seen people do modern dance or belly dance a circle open. Doesn't matter, as long as it works for you. That's really the most important thing. So once you feel like that circle's there, then you call in your gods or goddess and deity and energy. So if you're working with just the moon, you'd call her in, you'd speak to her. You're working with the sun and the moon, you'd speak to them. If you're working with, say, for example, Artemis, bring her in. You've learned about Artemis before you do this. You have something to read to her. Please come to me, great Artemis, goddess of the moon. Please be with me in my circle so that I can focus upon blankety blank. Thank you so much, and I'm glad you're here. And you wait. You wait. And when you feel them, then you proceed and thank them. You will feel it. If you've done it correctly and you're really open, you will feel a shift when they enter your circle. Some people like to do the quarters or elements first, and then the god and goddess. That is up to you. You can do it either way. I usually use the quarters first, but I'm just mentioning the gods first because some people just like that, and they don't like to go any further. If you're wanting to introduce what we call the quarters or the four elements and the four corners of your circle, yes, there are four corners in a circle, right? There's a square inside the circle. Then you're going to want to work with them next or first if you're going to call them in. Importantly, first and then the god and goddess. But either way, if you don't want the elements, just call in the god and goddess. So here are how you call the elements in, which you can do first or you can do second. It really doesn't matter. So you face the north and you call in the power of earth. You face the north is earth. Air is in the east. You face the east. You call in air, the powers of air. Earth, air, fire, south, facing the south, you call in the powers of fire. West, you call in the powers of water. You can get an app on most phones now, and they have little compasses, so you can know exactly which way you're facing. Some people are sticklers, and I get it, because I am one of them. I like it to be precise. Some people don't really care. One way to figure it out is to say, where is the sun rising and setting in my world? Oh, that's west or east. And then go from there. So you've done that. you have the deity, you have the element or the element, and then the deity or just the deity. And you're ready to go. So once there, everything is in and you're ready to go. Now you sit with that energy. You have your spells out. You have your desires out. You can just talk to the deity. You can say, I just need to be here. I need to be in this space right now. And just do that and sit quietly and ask everyone there to empower you yourself. Or you say, here's these spells that I want, or these workings that I have, or this thing I want to bless, or this idea I want to blossom, or whatever your reason for a ritual is. And you ask them to empower it. If you have the energy on your altar already happening, you have your, by the way, you should have done this already. You have your incense going, or your fire on your candle going, all of those things are going and working. You can then empower your spells with that. Or you can just walk around the circle and ask the elements to empower them. Or you can just ask the deities to empower them. And the reason I'm giving you 70 zillion ideas is because I'm talking about, what I'm really talking about is eclectic witchcraft. I call it American only because here, we have no regard for tradition in America because we're like a baby country, and we regard our tradition as nothing. We have no real American tradition. It's really just come from other places and has gotten knitted together to become something that we call American. So if you're, say, British and you have traditions you want to call upon, or you're French, or you're from Australia, or you're from Sweden, and you have traditions that have been passed down and you want to work with those traditions and those traditional ideas of what's on my altar, what did my people believe, what gods and goddesses did they work with, please do that. And you can want to be very, researchful in this way. If you say you are British and you want to do British traditional witchcraft, then be looking that up and see what was done, okay, and see how people have done that. I'm just throwing a million ideas in the soup because I'm an American. I've been in most of the time working as a witch. I have been an eclectic witch, but I also have had a long foray into Wicca itself, traditional British witchcraft. So I've done both sides of it. And I have also studied, and worked in very traditional Greek magic and Egyptian magic. So, it depends on what you want to do. You don't want to mix up too many different pantheons, for sure. You don't want to mix the Celtic with the Greeks. They don't know each other. They might not work really well. You certainly don't want to speak Gaelic in a Greek ritual, right? You want to try to keep things as specific as possible. But I'm just talking away all these ideas and leaving open all the doors for you to investigate. That's really what I feel like my job is, to just say, look, here's the room. Here's everything in it. Go. So that's what I'm doing. So nothing I'm saying is perfectly, the way it's supposed to be, but it can be. And it also is definitely not specifically laid out based on anybody's culture. It's just sort of ideas. That's what I am. And I'm telling you ideas. Okay, so once those are empowered, you can light them, you can sit with them. And a lot of times people, like at this point, once a spell is working or lit or empowered or held or said, people like to chant. People like to chant and move because they want to raise energy. In Wicca, it's called the cone of power. That's what they call it. So what we're doing is sometimes people go in circles or dance in circles or walk in circles or clap or play drums or chant. A lot of times people will meditate before they light their candles or before they do their spells, or sometimes they do it right after, and then they wait for answers from the gods as to what's the next step in their journey. Or some people skip that idea of meditation entirely and they just move and yell and sing and chant. And once you do that, that's when you want to bring the energy back down into your workings. So you're going to whip up energy. That's called raising this cone, and then you're going to put it into your workings. And some people use something called the Great Rite. The actual Great Rite is intercourse between people, and that is, you want to go do that, go ahead. If you don't, fine. You can just use a chalice and a knife to represent the yoni and the phallus. Or you can just take the energy in your hands and put it into your working. It doesn't have to be any symbol that you're not comfortable with or don't understand. If you're interested in learning about the Great Rite, I probably will end up talking about that as we go on. So that's fine, but also you can just look that up. You want to see what that is, what a chalice and an athame in a ritual means? It's a closing down of the energy, creation, making something, creating something from nothing. So if you want to look up how to work that, you can. There's specific wordings that people use. You can find those easily online. By the way, I always say Wicca, 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 and it's supposed to be secretive, and it's no longer secretive. There are books of shadows online, and you can find them very easily. There's one called Lady Sheba's Book of Shadows, and that's purely Wiccan, and it's on something called Sacred Texts. There's a whole section of stuff on Sacred Texts that is about Wicca, and it has a lot of information about different kinds of occult things, and there are full books on there. And also, I will always tout this place because it's great. For like $8.99 a month, you can go on Scribd and just read books. They have books on everything, and there's a lot of books on witchcraft there. So, and on Wicca, and on magic, and on all kinds of magic. So enjoy yourself and read and learn. Okay, so after you've raised your energy, what you generally want to do is to ground down yourself and the energy. And how you do that is by eating. People eat. They're called cakes and ales in the old way. Or people have cookies and juice. You need something or nothing that was living, flesh. That's not acceptable in this case, I think. I think it has to be something light and tasty and sugary, and that brings you back into your senses. Because sometimes during this part of the ritual, I have seen actual people actually faint from too much energy and too much of a heady energy. They can't get into the grounding of themselves anymore. And eating something like that, drinking, brings you back. So once you're feeling better and you're ready to go, you can just thank the god and goddess and release them. Thank your elements and release them. And then bring in your circle. And that's it. That's it. That's a ritual. That's a full moon ritual. I know I did a lot of things. And I didn't say enough things. There's so many specific things that go on in a ritual that, you can be very high magic, or it can be very, down and dirty, sort of throw it down witchcraft, and there's everything in between. So there's so many things to explore. When I first started, and if you are just starting, I totally suggest you just read as much as possible. Follow the paths that open to you. If this is helping you to understand, say, the Greek pantheon for some reason, and it sparks an idea in your head, then go there and start, reading about that or understanding that. Whatever it is that your belly is usually your biggest helper. It usually goes, yeah, you have an instinctual feeling in your middle, in that chakra there, under your heart chakra that says, yeah, this is the thing. This is the thing. So if you're starting to feel that, that's what you need to follow. I have on this Medium article a couple of recipes for incense, using frankincense and different kinds of things for purification. I have a list there of different herbs, like marjoram works for this kind of a ritual for the wolf moon, holy thistle, nuts and cones. We have colors which are white. You can decorate everything in white or blue violet or even black. You can bring in snowdrop flowers or crocuses, which are just around the corner coming up, or on and on. You can bring in onyx or jet or garnet into your ritual. Anything you need is listed there, and there's more. I mean, I gave you as many as I thought it would be helpful. So please do read that, and please, if you can find it on Medium, and if you can, I'm not asking for anything except if you go on Medium, clap for me, please, because it gives me 5 cents. So every five cents adds up, and maybe I can continue to sustain myself this way and just work. By the way, I am redoing my Etsy store. I have an Etsy store up, and I am redoing the whole thing, recreating a lot of my stuff to break into a more of an herbal section, where I'm making herbal products as well as magical products. And most of that's made to order based on what you need. So get in touch with me while we're on vacation. I can still make things if you need them, or discuss with you how to find things, or help you find herbal remedies or recipes or other teachers. Anything you need, don't ever feel afraid to reach out and ask me for information at the magical, magical apothecary, apothecary, @gmail.com. You can find me on my website. As I said, you can find me on my Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. I am in all those places. So reach out, share the information. I say, I hope that you have a wonderful full moon, this wonderful wolf, snow, ice cold moon coming up on the 10th in Cancer. I hope that you get everything that you ever desire from the God and Goddess and from the universe. And I hope you are happy and healthy and well. And I hope that everything you need and want is taken care of for you. Many blessings to all of you. May the God and Goddess always be with you. Thank you and bye.